You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? At 185 pounds with a 1 pound allowance because it's a non-title fight.
Oh, God. I don't even know what to say. Welcome to the UFC Vegas 90 preview show here at MMAfighting.com. Yes, all goes down at the world's most famous Apex tomorrow. The last stop on the road to UFC 300, ladies and gentlemen. I am excited. I hope you are as well. There you have it. Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis, the main event, a rematch. And it's happening. Middleweight's headlining once again. Welcome to the show. I am Mike Heck. We got Jose Youngs joining us from New York. Did you feel any earthquakes today?
No, I did not feel a single thing because I was at the gym, like throwing weights around. And then I get back and my girlfriend's like, there was an earthquake. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then all of a sudden, because we live across the street from like two or three coffee shops, we got that like iPhone alert where it starts, like the siren starts going off. That's like, alert, there was an earthquake. Every phone outside my window went off at the same time, including mine and my girlfriend. So apparently there was an earthquake, but I didn't feel a single thing.
And my best friend is here too, Alexander K. Lee. No earthquakes in Toronto, I would say, AK?
No, the only earthquake I just felt was the ongoing weigh-ins happening, the official weigh-ins for UFC Vegas 90. Walter Walker, Johnny Walker's brother, just weighed in 264, baby. So we got we got weigh-ins ongoing. We got no drama yet. We got a lot of names still to come. I will keep an eye on that. And I will, if someone misses weight, I will just start shouting. I will start shouting wildly, even if someone else is talking, and then you guys can throw to me. Is that okay, Casey? Casey, is that all right? Is that a good production call?
Yeah, that's cool. Good job.
Good job indeed. All right, let's get right into this. UFC Vegas 90, Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis 2. AK, top to bottom, I think it's a pretty damn good card for an Apex card. It's pretty solid. There's a lot of action to be had on this card. I think there's going to be a lot of fun fights. Stakes, relevance, not a ton, but there are some interesting storylines, and there are some ranked fighters competing on this card, including at the women's bantamweight division. So what are we giving this card? Gymnastics scale, AK? Are we in the sevens with this one?
I don't think we can be, Michael.
Really?
I like the card. I like the card, but I can't lie to America more than I already have anyway. I gotta go below seven. Like I just think if I'm telling people, if we're using this as a gauge to like for people to decide how they should spend their Saturday and whether they should tune in, because there's a lot of good sports programming going on this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I can't in good conscience call this like a seven, especially comparatively to, again, some of the aforementioned events. It's maybe a 6.8 is maybe even generous. I'm not even looking at the chat right now. I'm assuming people are thinking of fives and fours, but I'm with you. I've obviously dug deep, done a little bit of research into the card, and yeah, there's potential for knockouts, there's potential for good back and forth action, But boy, like very much lacking in name value. And as much as I love the headliners, this is the rematch that none of us wanted. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. It was supposed to be Brendan Allen and Vittori. I understand. But this is a tough sell. This is a tough sell if you're making for your mind and you've got other sports or if you've got any other thing to do on the plate. It's a hard. I think 6.8. You know, Mike, I got to go low. 6.5.
Wow, that's lower than
the, I'm still looking forward to it. I'm still looking forward to it, but I have to be honest with people. I mean, I have to watch it anyway. I'll be working, but I'll enjoy. I'm looking forward to working, if that helps anyone with their decision.
Wow, I didn't think it'd be lower than 89, but that's where we're at. Holy cow, Jose, top to bottom, where are we at with Vegas 90 here?
I mean, it's not like AK said. It's not the best. 6.5 is still passing technically in, you know, academics with a 65, but it's not great. There's other things happening this weekend, as AK also mentioned, so maybe this is just a punt. Like, the UFC knows that a lot of people won't be tuning in for this. There are other things happening that people will be spending money on. So maybe they, you know, they're just trying to, how would I phrase this? Give a specific broadcast partner the amount of fight cards they need, while also punting simultaneously. This is this tank season. That's what the NBA calls it, like tanking right now, like purposely putting on a bad product, knowing that it won't be a good sell, if that makes sense.
That's fair. Look, this is not a card everyone's going to like run out of their way and to go watch. No one's skipping the Final Four for this one. Or, I mean, the start time actually helps this card quite a bit, because it starts at 3 p.m. Eastern, and I think that obviously boosted up percentages overall, but I do think this is going to be a fun watch. But let's talk about this main event, AK. As you mentioned, Brendan Allen was supposed to fight Marvin Vettori, which seemed like the appropriate step up for a guy who has won 6 fights in a row, coming off of the loss to the aforementioned Chris Curtis, who he's going to fight on Saturday. The way you break these fights down, AK, do you feel like, despite Marvin Vettori being ranked higher and fighting for a title and all that, being a top 5 guy, stylistically, do you feel like Chris Curtis is a more, I guess, competitive matchup for Brendan Allen? Do you feel like it changes the way you view how Allen could compete? Because a lot of people feel like, because of Allen's style and because of what Vettori is very good at, Allen could have may not be able to finish Marvin, but he could have a very good night at the office. Chris Curtis is an incredible defensive wrestler who can hit pretty well. He's got really good boxing, really good striking. Do you feel like this is a tougher matchup for Brendan Allen compared to the Marvin Vettori one, just based on a stylistic perspective?
Yeah, I definitely do. Vettori was a tough matchup on paper for sure. But we're asking all these ifs. We've seen them fight before. We've seen Chris Curtis and Brendan Allen fight. It did not go well for Brendan Allen. Now, this is a long time ago. A lot can change. It's been almost 3 years. Over 2 years? Math is hard. It's been over 2 years, maybe 2.5 years now. A lot can change. Brendan Allen is not the same guy he was when he fought Chris Curtis the first time. Chris Curtis is not the same guy he was when he fought Brendan Allen the first time. But stylistically, it's not like they've changed that much. And that's got to be a concern here for Brendan Allen. Props to him for taking this this fight. I can't imagine him saying no. He's kind of big on getting back rematches too. He's been calling for the Sean Strickland rematch for a long time. He's not getting that. Now he's getting Sean Strickland's friend. And I'm sure if you're Brendan Allen, in no part of you is thinking like, oh, this guy killed me the first time. I'm the underdog here. No, you are thinking, I got. Fine, move on. That's in the past. Totally different fight, totally different night. And I would love to, again, not erase, but make up for that loss on your record. Once you get to the UFC, it's you don't get a lot of opportunities to do that. So that's one thing in Brendan Allen's side is I think he's feeling really good. I think he's going to this fight with a lot of good vibes and a lot of career momentum. 4 straight submissions. The big concern here is Chris Curtis gets submitted. He has 1 submission in his entire career, and it happened a lifetime ago. That's a problem when you're when if we're talking about Brendan Allen, you are known as a guy who can finish. Well, he's got some hands, you know, he can club and sub. That's certainly a possibility. But a lot of the things you mentioned, Mike, that great wrestling defense of Chris Curtis. He's so experienced. He's not going to panic on the ground. It could be he just gets out wrestled for five rounds. That is possible, but again, we haven't really seen it. No one really just holds Chris Curtis down, but he can be outstruck too. It's not like Chris Curtis and Vince on the feet, great striker. So as far as this being a more difficult matchup than Vettori, I do think it is, again, if only because we've seen it play out once and it went very well for Chris Curtis. And even if both guys are improved in what they do best, they still haven't changed that much. So we'll give our picks in a bit, but I do like this a lot for Chris Curtis. And I will say, guys, vote in the poll we have up now. Who needs a win the most on Saturday? I don't know if I picked the four best names here, but Brendan Allen, Alexander Hernandez, who hasn't won at featherweight yet, Jermaine de Randamie, who's coming back from over a three-year layoff, and Cynthia Calvillo, who hasn't won in 4 years, I think, or something like that. So this is not who has the most to gain. This is who needs a win the most. Currently, Brendan Allen, 44%. I assume people thinking because he's on his way to title contention and a loss to Chris Curtis, a second loss to Chris Curtis, would be disastrous.
I'm glad you're here, Jose, because you view fights in a different kind of a way. Like, I look at things like, I have like different boxes I need checked off when I talk about fights, but you're a fan of just high level martial arts. Two guys getting in the cage, we're very, very good at this, getting in there and battling it out. And I know you like storylines as well, but as a fan of the high level martial arts, do you like this fight better? Do you feel this is a more intriguing matchup, especially since Brendan Allen has not lost since, well, fighting Chris Curtis a few years back?
Do I like it better? I like it. I think this will be a more exciting fight because Marvin Vettori is one of those guys that can make a fight ugly, which is a skill unto its own. Like if he can pull you out of your game plan to make him fight his game plan, that is a skill, I think. Marvin Vettori has also never been finished, if I remember correctly. So it would have been interesting to see if the guy that's been the hottest finisher in the middleweight division going up against the guy that is impossible to put away. Because like that Marvin Vettori lost to Jared Cannonier. Jared Cannonier did everything in his power to turn Marvin Vettori's lights off, and he just stayed standing. So yeah, he lost that fight, but it was impressive that he survived such a hellacious beating. Brendan Allen, I think, is tied with, I want to say, Charles for second or third longest submission streak in the history of the UFC, and he's only been in the UFC for 5 years. Charles Oliveira has been in the UFC forever. So I think this fight has more. Both men put on it. These two men put on exciting fights, so I imagine this will be an exciting fight. But in terms of where these guys go in their careers, as all this chaos happens outside my window right now, I think a win over Marvin Vettori would have done more for Brendan Allen's career. I think this is more of a Brendan Allen want to stay on this card and get revenge. I can't imagine he would have been too keen to say fight. I don't know who's a middleweight outside the top 15 that they might have slot in here. I can't imagine he would have taken a fight like that. But yeah, this will be more exciting than the Vettori fight, but probably not as good. A win over Marvin Vettori does more for your career than Chris Curtis right now, I think.
Oh yeah, I would have to agree with that. So a lot to discuss. We want to get the peeps involved, and we're going to get to the peeps in a matter of moments, but let's make our pick for this main event. It's going to be real interesting after the fight to discuss like where each guy goes, but I think it's a little too early for this specific fight. AK, Brendan Allen, as expected, the favorite. Line's been juiced up a little bit on his end, minus 218. Come back on the action man, Chris Curtis, plus 180. Who you got here?
I'm so bad at separating people from their first fight, unless it was clear, like one guy just got caught and we didn't really, get the story. Like if we got like Curtis Blaydes and Tom Aspinall again, for example, I wouldn't look at that first fight as anything, right? It'd just be almost like a new matchup. But in this case, again, we did get quite a bit of data in that first Chris Curtis Brendan Allen fight, and then just based on their careers, what we know of what they do since that win, Brendan Allen on a hot streak, doing what he does best, fantastic offense, great submission skills, great finishing instinct. But like stuff like that doesn't really matter against Chris Curtis. I feel like he's going to have to, like, there's a very good chance this goes the distance, because I just don't see Brendan Allen submitting him. Again, if he does it, amazing, amazing. That would, like I said, Chris Curtis one time submitted in 30 something pro fights, be an enormous feather in Brandon Allen's cap. As Jose said, would be this continue this streak that would put him like in the UFC history books. I think he'd be second or close to first all time submission streak. I'm just having trouble figuring out how Brandon Allen gets it done. But if I have to pick a winner, I do think Allen will avenge the loss. I think Curtis coming in on short notice, that'll be just enough of an edge for Brandon Allen this time around. Though if I'm trying to remember, Curtis came in on short notice the first time too. But either way, I'll say this time it gives Brandon Allen a slight edge. I don't see him finishing. I think I see him getting enough offense with his grappling, plus some memorable moments on the feet to win a decision. I can't see him putting him away on the ground, but I think he can take him down, do some damage down there, maybe even threaten with submissions. And Chris Curtis is going to put in a hell of an effort. So I don't see this as a comfortable win for Brendan Allen, but I do think he'll get the decision by the end, by the time we get to the 25-minute mark. So Allen, revenge.
Allen decision for AK. Jose, where are we at?
I think Brendan Allen will get it done. I don't know how, though, because Brendan Allen, like Chris Curtis, like AK pointed out, because I wasn't aware. I knew Chris had been finished, but I know his one submission was a lifetime ago, and Brendan Allen is, like I said, he either submits you or it reaches a decision, and lately it's only been submissions. And let's not forget, like, Brendan Allen's UFC debut was against Kevin Holland. That's MVP, who had all this hype, also made his UFC debut against Kevin Holland. And since then, Brendan Allen has not had, I know we talked about this, I think on BTL yesterday, and I said that I thought Chris might have had the better resume. I changed my mind. Brendan Allen has the better resume. Making your UFC debut against Kevin Holland and immediately going to Tom Breeze and Kyle Daukaus, then having your fourth UFC fight be against Sean Strickland, is a tough road. Yeah, he's only lost to Strickland and he's only lost to Chris Curtis, both by TKO. Brendan Allen seems to be a guy that every fight, win or lose, just gets better. And I think he's been the hottest fighter in the middleweight division right now, outside of, you know, that title defense, that title picture right now. So I think Brendan Allen gets it done. Five rounds is a lot of time to get a submission. Chris Curtis doesn't seem like a guy that'll get tired. So I don't think Brendan Allen's going to be I don't think this fight is going to play out that Chris Curtis is going to gas. Brendan Allen takes advantage of it, because Chris seems to have an endless gas tank as well, just like his training partner, Sean Strickland. So I won't be able to pick a method, but I do think Brendan Allen gets his revenge. How? I don't know.
Yeah, it is wild to kind of go through Brendan Allen's resume, even like his legacy and LFA run.
Yeah.
Fluffy Hernandez, Eric Anders, Trevin Giles in 2016. Like, those were his losses heading into the UFC. I think his resume is going to age incredibly well, yeah, no matter where it goes. It's just one of those things where he fights these dudes before they become like big things. So it ages just so tremendously graceful. I understand why Chris Curtis is a popular dog pick. I totally get it. One, because of the first fight, and he's got the confidence knowing he can go there and finish Brendan Allen. And two, because of the stylistic perspective, like, Chris is ridiculously hard to take down. He's very tough to finish. He's super durable, all of that. I think Brendan Allen is going to, for the first time in quite some time, and he's going to fight strategically. Not saying that he hasn't been fighting strategically, but he's going to fight to get a win. This is not going to be like, I'm going to go out there and finish this dude in the first round. Like, that's not going to be his game plan. His game plan is going to just get a victory however you can get it. And that's fine, because this is kind of the situation you're in, where if he does go out there and finish Chris Curtis in the first round, like, it'll be super impressive, but it seems super unlikely. So I don't think he gains much from beating Chris. And I know Casey disagrees with that. Like, it keeps him in play for sure. But if he loses, it is freaking catastrophic. Like, he's out of the title picture for a while, especially with where things look at 185. So he is in a pretty must-win situation here if he wants to get to a title shot. I know he's only 28, but this division's only going to get crazier and crazier and crazier. So my pick is Brendan Allen, and I'm with you, AK. I think he wins the decision. I think it's going to be a lot of just muscling Chris Curtis up against the fence and just kind of wearing him down that way. And I don't think this is going to be the most thrilling fight we've ever seen, but I think it's the kind of fight Brendan Allen needs to win this one. But I could be wrong. Maybe he goes out there and just destroys Chris. He drops it with the shot and then goes in and taps him. Like, that'll be incredibly impressive. But I think Brendan's going to fight very smart here and just win however he can. And if that means going to the cards, he's going to go to the cards. So Brendan Allen by decision is my pick.
Mike, not to skew the data, but so would he be your vote for who needs to win the most over Hernandez, Jermaine de Randamie, and Cavillo?
Yes, it would be. I know it's tough when you're talking about, like, yeah, I think it's got to be him. Just based on where they're at right now, yeah, I think it has to be him. I understand making a case for the others, but Brennan just... winning is going to get him to the title. Like, he's not Sean Strickland. He's not a superstar. He's not like super over where he could skip the line. Like, the only, he's in the Bilal Muhammad situation at 185, where he's going to have to run off like 8, 9, 10 wins to even get there. And if he loses to Chris again, it sets him way back. So yeah, I will say Brendan Allen. Maybe the peeps agree. Maybe they don't. We'll see how the poll plays out in a matter of moments, but let's bring EKC Leiden in. We'll take some questions here. Fun main card. We mentioned Alexander Hernandez versus Damon Jackson. Morgan Cherrier versus Chepe Mariscal is going to be insane. Ignacio Bahamondes fighting, coming off of a loss against, now he's fighting Christos Giagos. Lucas Breschke welcoming Walter Walker to the UFC. And Trevor Peak, Charlie Campbell it's going to be everything you think Trevor Peak versus Charlie Campbell is going to be, which is going to be absolute chaos. We'll take some questions.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is Walter Walker? Tell me about him. That's just a great
Johnny's
name,
brother.
Is that Johnny's heavyweight brother? Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't fight like you would expect the brother of Johnny Walker to fight, if we're being honest. If you go back and watch tape on
neither
Mr.
does
Baldwin.
Neither does Mo Usman.
Yeah.
That might be like as good of a comparison as you can come up with.
Doesn't Mo Usman fight like early Kamar Usman? All right, whatever.
Yeah. Walter's got some finishes, but a lot of decisions and not the greatest quote unquote strength of schedule, but he made it good and that's good.
All right. Cool. All right. Super chat.
Jameek, what grade would you give PFL? Oh, last night's card?
Yeah, it's just in general. Did anyone watch it? Is that the only one? Were me and Jed the only ones that watched it?
I didn't watch live. It. How was the pacing?
I can't tell you how good the pacing was because I was editing the whole time. Yeah. So, like, actually big gaps in the fights benefited me in a sense. So, the pacing didn't feel good. How about that? It wasn't like... And I was watching on a stream, ESPN stream, but there's no commercials in between. It's just kind of the cage. So like, I don't know. Sometimes when we see the same commercial over and over and over, it feels even worse or longer. But pacing, whatever, didn't seem bad. Not good either. But the card, I like the card. Man, I just, what snuck up on me was the women's flyweight tournament is kind of awesome. I think it's PFL's like best tournament, at least on paper, as far as the depth they've ever had. I mean, whoa. What do you like better? I was really
No. I want to let you finish.
I don't have the card up in front of me, but Dekovia, is that her name? She's been on MMA Hour a couple of times.
Jeva.
She was really good. That's the first time I saw her fight live. Kana had a great win. I'm a big fan of Jenna Bishop. She's really good, really good grappler. I think 7-0 now. And Tyler Santos looked awesome. And Liz Carmouche just kind of proved her dominance again by having a dominant victory over Julian Vasquez last night. The heavyweight fights, there's a lot of, you know, some so-so heavyweight fights, but the main event ended really violently. So that was a good fight. And overall, I thought it was a good card. And it's just as long as they didn't go to the stupid, they showed stats at the end. And apparently, Blagoy had the fastest strike of the night, which is freaking impossible. It's Blagoy. It was like, what are you? But outside of the stupid stats, I thought the PFL improved as a card. And the PFL roster coming over definitely made the card much better.
The Bellator roster, you mean?
Sorry, the Bellator roster coming over.
Yeah, Liz Carmouche, the kind of Bellator champion. I mean, she's not even sure what she is anymore.
Well, basically, they said she vacated her belt to be in the tournament.
That's so weird.
Well, it doesn't even seem true, but
just let her hold on to it.
Well, it doesn't matter. She's in the tournament now. She'll get paid more money, I think, in the tournament, and she'll fight a lot more often because I think she wants to fight more often.
Sure.
At 40, she'll be fighting a lot more. And like, I think just financially, this made a lot more sense for Liz to do.
No, her title should be on the line, and they should be paying her champions money every time she steps out there. That's what should be. The title should be like an impromptu Grand Prix thing.
It's not a Grand Prix. It was only a 3-round fight. It's not like Bellator did it. Yeah.
I'm saying that every fight she's in should be a 5-rounder.
I'm not even countering you, Casey, because you're right. The depth of that division is awesome.
Yeah.
What you're going to run, the problem I have with all of this is it was clear as day what PFL is trying to do. They're trying to get Dakota Dejava to the playoffs into the final way. While Liz Carmouche was probably, I mean, Tyler Santos is very good too. Liz Carmouche had to fight Juliana Velasquez in the first round just because they wanted to sell it as a trilogy fight. But Dakota Dejava was a -4,000 favorite against her opponent. A -4,000 favorite. And Liz Carmouche, despite possibly being the best flyweight in this entire season, she might not even make the playoffs, even if she wins her next fight.
Well, that's a stupid PFL playoff.
Which is crazy.
That's a stupid PFL playoff. The way they have theirs to go. And that's just dumb.
But they can match make however they want, and that's the big problem here. Like, I understand they want to. Their whole thing when they announced the structure was, this is not going to be a tournament. But come on, dog. You have to like have rankings for these fighters. You have to have like seedings for these fighters. Liz Carmouche should not be fighting Juliana Velasquez in the first round of this thing. She should have been fighting who Dakota fought yesterday. Like, that's what you get as being a top ranked. You want to talk about rankings and fight metrics and how important that is. You need to structure your season around that. So you could set up one, the best possibility for your fighters, your best fighters to fight each other in the best possible ways. And plus to make it fair, because I don't think it's fair that Dakota Dejava gets to be a -4,000 favorite in a fight, but Liz Carmouche, who is the freaking Bellator champion, has to have the toughest fight in the first round. That doesn't make sense to me. And it's clear what PFL is trying to do. And because of how this is laid out, I don't blame them for that. There's no way that they're going to match Dakota up with Liz in round two in her second fight, or Tyler Santos, or even a Juliana Velasquez. She's going to get like the lowest ranked other fighter in her next fight. It's going to be really interesting to see how they do it. But this is my one issue with it.
I agree with everything you said.
You got to see these fighters.
I agree with everything you said, but this is also good promotion by PFL, actually, by giving homegirl the Chevnia.
How do you say her name?
Dacheva. Because I don't know this. I'm not coming into this. You know way more about PFL than I do. I came into it. Oh, it happens to be on. I'm working all night, so I'm just watching it. And I'm just watching her just look awesome. And so I'm actually watching PFL as a casual, honestly. You know, yeah. So I was actually super impressed. And I was like, oh, I want to see her fight again. To me, that's good promotion. Yeah, the season format sucks. I don't like the season format. I'd rather have a straight up tournament. But here we are.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I'm all for chicanery when it comes to booking. Look, people are talking about the Chivas. I'll read a comment from the YouTube.
It's a two fight season. Is it two fights in the season? Let me read a comment because of how the points are structured.
Like Dakota Dacheva could win the million, but she could do it without fighting Liz Carmouche or even Liz being in the playoffs.
That's them trying to make a star. I like that.
What are we doing? Just put her on the card and not put her in the tournament then.
Listen to Manny Avalos in the comments. Hold on, guys. Listen to Manny Avalos in the comments. He said, I actually did watch PFL last night. The pace and production needs improvement. Moments of such silence. But man, Dacheva looked amazing. Yeah. Is she the best flyweight in the world?
That is great promotion.
That is a question you want people asking. You're right.
We're in the thick of it. Of course, we don't agree.
But if you have people watching and thinking that, you're promoting a star. I have no problem with it.
I disagree. You can't do both because no one has ever looked like the best flyweight in the world fighting Liz Carmouche. Even when Valentina fought her, it was just the worst fight she's ever been in.
Horrible. Yeah.
It's just like you can't.
But even she said she wanted to be in this so she could fight them, and like grow and potentially face them in the finals.
But you gotta protect her from herself, though. If it was up to her, she'd probably fight Valentina Shevchenko. It's like you gotta protect her from herself. I'm sure she wants to fight the best of the best. That's good. And she should keep saying that. And PFL should keep not doing that.
They're not going to do it. Yeah.
We're paying money to watch Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage next week. I mean, that's just how promotion. That's how it works to me.
Right. But it's not a middleweight tournament or season. Where it's like, Izzy has to fight Khamzat Chimaev, and this person has to fight this person. And it's all like Marvin Vettori is fighting this person. And then all of a sudden, Bo Nickel's fighting Cody Brundage and is a -2500 favorite. Like, I get what they're doing, but you could do the same thing by just putting her on the card and showcasing her, just like Bryce Meredith was on the card. They tried with Lucas Brennan, but he friggin' lost. But like you still could have put her on the card against the same opponent and still gotten the same reaction without putting her in the season. You know what I'm saying? All I'm asking is for seedings. Just seed them. That's it.
I don't know. That limits their options though. I'm with them. I'm with them. Keeping it loosey goosey.
I don't like the season at all. But if you are gonna have a season, I don't mind.
Yeah, we'll see how you feel if Liz Carmouche wins her next fight 30-26 across the board and doesn't make the playoffs.
I don't like the season format. I don't like it. But this is like
if you win both your fights, you generally make it. That's 6 points, right? You get 6 points.
Generally? But when you're putting fighters in who are -4,000 favorites and they're getting first round finishes.
Yeah.
Like, what happens if Julia? Like, it's.
Who's she facing next? How's it working? Who's her next?
We don't know yet.
So is she going to. Hey.
They might run it back. They might do a rematch with her.
These aren't real seasons. Are they two fight seasons? Is that the season? Two fights? Yeah. That's not a season. That's two fights.
All right. Well, let's move on. It's not a season.
Let me quickly just say.
I didn't even pay attention to the whole season stuff, to be honest. I just went, she was on the main card or whatever. I was like, she walked out like a star. She looked like a star. She knocked out the girl like a star. She was on the mic like a star. Like, she had the it factor. That's all I was trying to say. And I think the PFL did a good job. And that's very rare, I think, why I give props or promotion for actually kind of making a fighter look good. Yeah.
So, by the way, rankings-wise, I think this has to be the best PFL field yet, because it has three of our ranked. I don't think there's ever been a PFL tournament that's had three MMA fighting ranked fighters. Yeah. Uh, uh, Tala Santos, Yeah, yeah, Talos Santos, number 4. Liz Carmouche, number 6. Juliana Velasquez, number 15. Mm-hmm. Liz Carmouche, number 11, pound for pound. Talos Santos, also pound for pound, number 16. Yeah, Kana Watanabe's in there.
They're right out there, kind of. I think they're Favs. Yeah.
Decheva, I think, is not going to get a vote for me yet, but she's close.
Not yet.
We'll see how things keep going. Definitely not the competition, level of competition just hasn't been there, but some people are going to put her in the top 15. I don't think it's crazy.
Yeah. The point is, we're excited to see her fight again. That's kind of, that's all that really matters to me.
It was a C. It was a C, maybe a C plus for that. Right. Production was bad. Pacing wasn't great. Fights are okay. The heavyweights are heavyweights. C plus, which is good for them. Which is good for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a lot of PFL talk. Woo. Got all sweaty.
The season, like, they can't get rid of the season, but there's so many holes in it.
Oh, and season sucks, but maybe that's part of it. Do something stupid so we talk about their stupid things, but so we're talking about it. Who knows?
All Don Davis is doing go in the MMA hour. We have a week's worth of stuff to talk about.
All right. Super chat coming in.
Whoa.
Oh, wait.
400 something. Sweet. Hello, guys. What does it mean to have that dog in you? Oh, AK, this is your question. I've heard it many times, but still don't know what that means. AK, we're not all going to explain it. AK, this is your thing. This is you.
Why am I being asked? Why am I the one person who doesn't believe in this phrase? Because
you're the one who has the graphic of the dog x-ray.
I'm the worst person to explain this, I think, if anything. You know what it is? It's a lazy phrase that people just throw around when they're trying to find a interesting way to talk about, oh, this guy's so tough, or this guy's like he's got a resilience beyond like anything you can imagine. How do I? It's like he's got that dog in him. I don't remember when this first started. I don't think it was an MMA thing. It could have been any. There we go. Well, now again, this is a nightmarish image. I've warmed up to it now in an ironic way. It's just overused. It's not a bad phrase. But yeah, listen, if you want an example, what was the Anshul Jubilee? Anshul Jubilee and was it Trevor Peak? Was it the Trevor Peak who beat up Anshul Jubilee? Do you guys remember where he actually started barking at? No, who was it? It was Mike Breeden. Mike Breeden.
Yes.
If you want an example of someone having that dog in them, he was literally barking during the fight. The dog
breaking news. Was with...
Yeah. Oh, no.
Breaking news music.
I'll say it.
Breaking news music.
Oh, breaking news. Sorry. Hold on.
Breaking news music.
I was caught up in the dogs. No.
Yeah. Breaking news music. We have a weight miss, and it's a big one for UFC Vegas 90. Alexander Hernandez, 150. 150 pounds. He misses by 4 for his fight with Damon Jackson. I don't think this fight's happening, guys. I don't think this fight's happening. Although they are both managed by the same manager, so perhaps a deal, something could be worked out. But, oof, it's a big ass miss. 4 pounds. There you go.
He should not be fighting at featherweight. That's my hot take. I don't know if that's controversial. But that is brutal. Yeah, I'll tell you something. When it comes to making weight, he does not have that dog in him. Sorry, Alexander.
Wow.
In fairness, hey, you missed my
number. Wait, and you ask why you get the dog questions. Look at you.
Maybe
you
go right maybe back he's, to hey? it. But I'll be nice and say, I hope Alexander Hernandez is okay and it's not some sort of illness or something that prevented him from making weight. That is a pretty big miss. So hopefully Alexander Hernandez is all right.
Where you go? We can solve. Yo, but I'll be nice when you just said he don't have that dog in him.
Casey, most people don't have that dog in them. If you have a dog in you, you should go to the hospital. It is not a normal thing to be.
What a question.
I'm really this Hernandez thing.
Man.
Did we get an answer? Did AK explain the dog? You got it? All right. So AK, on this card, who guaranteed as a dog in him on this card? This UFC card.
I mean Trevor Peak. Trevor Peak or Charlie Campbell, really. Trying to look at the rest of the people on
that's Mariscal.
Sure. Chet, I mean, yeah, him and Trevor was unbelievable. Those two dogs. That's really, listen, those are your best examples right there. We'll see if everybody else. Jermaine. I don't know. Maybe Jermaine. I mean, Jermaine coming back, getting a win after 3 years. Like, you got to have some kind of dog you need to pull that off. He's a great fighter.
All right. Thank you much.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, a couple more. Kills Jr. Peak Train. Is this fight the low-key banger? Happy birthday, Canadian guy. Is Trevor Peak versus Charlie Campbell, Jose, the low-key banger of this card?
No, man. You guys aren't talking enough about Morgan Charrier. Any fight he's in is the low-key banger. Boom. That's my answer.
It's a good answer. And I feel like Peak Campbell, everybody's talking about it, so I don't even know if I consider it a low-key banger. I feel like if people are talking about the main event, then this fight.
I thought I was going to say Ignacio is my low-key banger.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's not a bad main card. I think it's a really good main card. But
yeah, there's a lot to like here. There's a lot to like here.
Yeah. See if we get...
Is it Mullins or Dixon? These are the important questions. It is Mullins.
She's now going by Mullins. Yes. So anyone wondering, who is this Melissa Mullins, top 15 bantamweight, Melissa Mullins, where'd she come from? It is, don't be alarmed, people. It is Melissa Dixon, who of course you all know and love. So yes, just a different moniker right now. That's all.
Is she ranked in our top 15?
She is, almost by default at this point.
It counts, baby. It counts.
Default.
Top 15 by default. You would
have got in even if there wasn't 19 bantamweights.
Excuse me. I apologize. I undersold her and her opponent, Nora Cornol. Nora is number 12. Melissa Mullins is 13. So they're not just on the fringe, guys. These guys are climbing.
Wait, we have two ranked fighters opening up the curtain jerker for this Apex card. That's how loaded this card is. They have two ranked fighters just to start. This is the Cody versus Little Figgy of the Apex cards, of Apex curtain jerkers. Huh? Right? Same thing.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
We have anything else? Or are we good?
Oh, hold on. We got one.
Lazy bed. Jose, what's your favorite discontinued food?
I'm thinking for people that are just listening.
Favorite discontinued food. I used to have a list, but a lot of them they've brought back like over the span of time, like the Szechuan sauce from, I think, what was it, Burger King, McDonald's. They brought back Dunkaroos. They brought back Pepsi Blue for a hot minute. Oh, you know what it is? I was talking to my friend about this actually not too long ago. I wish for the new Ghostbusters movie, they brought back the Hi-C Slimer edition.
Ecto-Cooler, baby.
Ecto-Cooler. Yeah, Ecto-Cooler. I know. You know what else I was a big fan of? The Buzz Lightyear cereal and the collector's edition Pop-Tarts with the Batman symbols as sprinkles that came out for the Batman and Robin movie with Mr. Freeze. So probably those.
AK, do you have one? I have an easy one.
Nothing like special. I remember once upon a time McDonald's was promoting a dinosaurs movie. I can't remember if it was a CG film. There's a dinosaur movie, and they had the Dino Bucket of Fries. It was literally just
That movie is literally called Dinosaurs.
Correct. And they had a Dino Bucket, and it was just the biggest bucket of fries you've ever seen in your life. And I always thought they would just bring it back as like a regular product, but no. Once the dinosaurs movie was done, gone forever.
Just like the dinosaurs.
Yes.
I learned a lot. Yeah.
The correct answer is, and I know they tried to like bring this back for like a hot second and it didn't really work. The old school WWF ice cream bars is the correct answer. 100%. Those things were freaking delicious. Every time I played Little League Baseball, the little ice cream truck would be right outside. And after the game, I would always get a WWF ice cream bar. They were great.
All right. Cynthia Calvillo has also missed weight.
No!
Oh, get the F out of here.
Wow. 3 pounds, guys. 3 pounds. Ugh, what are we doing?
Jeez,
man. This is bad times, man.
That was my next question. I had this ready.
19. Well,
spoiler. In her return to strawweight, she missed weight again. This is the fourth time that she has missed the 116-pound limit. So
She never missed flyweight, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
She just loses
that flyweight.
Man, I don't know, man.
Man. All right. Well,
that fight might not happen either. Vampira Rodriguez. Well, she might have to.
Oh, my gosh. That's bad.
So this is, I mean, it was, if it wasn't a must win before, it's a triple duper, quadruple must win for Calvillo now.
It's a must be the most thrilling performance of your career.
Yeah. Because I was about to say, you know, like her record is way worse than it is because those losses all came at flyweight against her losing streak. And then she lost to very top 10 fighters. And then losing to a competitive fight against Loopy isn't anything to be ashamed of. But this is bad news for Cynthia. Especially how much over? Like multiple pounds, right?
Three. 119. So that's including the loss.
Yeah, at flyweight, that's a big chunk. Yeah, that's... Eek.
All right. So follow along with MMAfighting.com.
Last one. Here we go. Last one.
A lot of trouble.
Ranked bantamweights. Oh. The only two left to weigh in. The aforementioned Melissa Mullins and Nora Carnoli. Last two, right, AK? They have not weighed in yet.
I think still waiting on Ignacio as well. I think Ignacio. Oh, and there's only like 5 minutes, 4 minutes left. So not looking good, guys. This is a bad time.
Oh, it's like 3 minutes up. You know what? We should just stick around.
We'll hang on.
You know what? UFC, we're going to try to make this short and sweet. But
how about that UFC 300 next week, guys? Sorry, I didn't say
this has to be a Jose question. What's the worst tattoo you've ever seen outside of my left arm, Jose?
Like in general or just in MMA?
Let's go both. It's quite time. Okay.
I can't, like, I have seen a lot of racist tattoos in my life. So like that is just the answer, regardless of whether the application is good or not. So that is my answer across the board. I've seen with my own eyes a handful of SS tattoos. I was in South Carolina. This might shock you, Mike. There was a guy with a big old Confederate flag tattoo in South Carolina. That was pretty bad. It was well done. It was a bad tattoo. So probably those. In MMA, the worst tattoo I've ever seen is Cowboy Cerrone's back piece because it is an incomplete barbed wire tribal tattoo, and in the dead center is a hyper realistic tattoo of his dog, and it makes absolutely no sense to me. So that is the worst tattoo I've seen, which also makes it the best tattoo I've ever seen, because whenever I tell people to look up MMA tattoos, that's the first thing I say. Junie Browning's tattoo was pretty lame. He has the grenade on his hand.
Well done.
Brock Lesnar has a tramp stamp. I don't think a lot of people know that. They know his sword tattoo and his big skull tattoo.
That's a sword.
Brock Lesnar's tramp stamp tattoo literally says "kill them all," and you can't see it when he's wearing trunks, which is again, like, who's going to tell Brock Lesnar no? Those are some bad ones. Yeah, I also liked I don't remember his name. He was on Tough Nations. Colin Fletcher had some pretty crazy tattoos as well.
Oh, the clown.
He had hands that were butterflies on his chest. So, like, God bless anyone who's come up with that.
I need an opinion on this, because I think it is the worst tattoo, one of the things I've ever seen. The Cody Rhodes tattoo on his neck.
I understand why he did it.
I thought that was it's fake tattoo at first. I was like, no way he got that.
I get why he did it. I also personally think tattoos on your neck while you wear a suit look really clean. I wish he would get one on the other side of his neck to even it out. But he can never be another gimmick for the rest of his life. Like, he can never do anything else outside of the American Nightmare, which God bless. God bless you. I know the people in the LWO right now, they all got similar tattoos because they're in a group together, but they're all small. So God bless you, Cody Rhodes. It is a well done tattoo.
Okay, where are we at here?
Before I'm gonna show you the best tattoo or worst tattoo ever to be in the UFC octagon by a young man named Joey Gambino. Tap, snap, or nap.
That is as MMA as it gets.
That's great.
You got the cage on him. Oh, is look him up. Great tattoo. Great tattoo.
How were we at with the weigh-ins, AK?
I have no idea. Damon Martin's covering right now. He just said Melissa Mullins also missed weight, 138.
Oh, no!
2 pounds over the limit. It's okay. It's okay. Wait, her opponent also missed weight. It's okay. 138.5.
Oh, my God.
Featherweight fight, baby.
All good. Catch
weight. Featherweight. We're bringing it back.
Catch weight. You know what? 20% penalty to you. 20% penalty back to me. It's all good. So no harm done. Does that even count as a miss? Does that even count as a miss? Ask yourself if both fighters miss. Technically, no. Technically, they both
miss. Yes.
What about Ignacio? Did Ignacio miss? What about Ignacio?
Brother, I don't even know if Ignacio showed up.
You dropped the brother.
Melissa Mullins missed by less. She was 2 pounds over. Nora, 2.5 pounds over.
Ignacio, all good, all good. 156, all good. Ignacio and Christos Giagos is official. All good.
All right, hit the music.
What a mess.
Oh, all right.
Not that music.
We have more breaking news.
The goodbye music. Hey, listen. You think we're done today? We're not. We ain't done. This week has created some new fans to the channel. Maybe not even for the mixing of the martial arts, but WrestleMania is coming up tomorrow as well, and on Sunday. So you know what? We're going to come back 5 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to talk some WrestleMania with all of you. We're just going to have a good time, sit back, relax, have a coffee, and just chill out. Talk some WrestleMania 40. Let's have a little fun. So 5 p.m. Eastern, around there. And sorry for the late start here. Completely my fault. Talking to John Anik, it went a little bit longer than expected. You get two Boston guys together. And Anik and I could have talked for another 15 minutes, but we cut it short just so I could be here with you all. So 5 p.m. Eastern, WrestleMania chatter. Until then, for Jose, AK, EKC Lyden, I am Mike Keck. Thank you for watching. Peace out.
Bye. Bye, AK. Okay.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
He's got that dog in him.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.